live in a society of instant gratification. Buy now, pay later. This is posing to be a serious challenge in South Africa. Not only has this debt trap infiltrated our cultures, but also our families, our individual lives, and Pastor Art, even the church. Did you know that in this country, we owe 261 billion, not Zim dollars, I'm talking about billion rands. Barcelona, ra kolota, we are in debt. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Breaking out of the debt trap. We can have wonderful dreams, but every vision from God must have a provision. And the provision is not in heaven. The provision is here. That is why some of us as pastors, we like this scripture. Every good, every perfect gift comes from abroad. That's not scriptural. It comes from above, not from abroad. All the provision is here. Let's go to the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. Uvaile, utsamaile. And you know that your servant did fear the Lord, but the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be slaves. Here's a picture. A man of God who attended Dream Week, impacted by Dream Week, went and made a meaningful contribution in society, did wonderful work, but the brother died. The brother is with the Lord. After the burial, mama comes and says, Elijah the prophet, your servant, my husband, the father of my two kids, is gone. He is with the Lord. But the creditors are coming to take our kids. Simple English. The man of God never made provision for his family. He did everything, reaching people for Christ, serving the man of God, serving the community. Yet, he left this wonderful woman and the children with debt. How do we get out of debt? Before we address that issue, let's talk about what is a debt trap. Why do I call it a debt trap? Because debt has a way of enslaving you. When you go into debt, you lose your freedom. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 verse 7, the borrower is servant to the lender. Anytime man or woman of God, you take out a loan or some credit, some fashion, form or another, you are in sense becoming a servant to those people. Think about it. You become mentally enslaved to them. Sometimes you wake up in the night worrying about your debt, particularly when it is time to pay that debt and there is no money. And you've confessed it, you've called it from the east, the west, the north, and the south, and there is nothing. You don't sleep. Please repeat after me. Worry worries. Worry wearies. That's what worry will do. Because of debt, you become physically enslaved to the people that you owe. You end up working longer and longer hours to meet your obligation, and you affect your intimate time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another thing. As a Christian, when you get into this debt trap, legally you are bound. A lot of Christians in this country are owing people. Unfortunately, most of them fellow Christian businessmen. And when people owe you, when it's time to pay, they give you scriptures. Wait patiently on the Lord. No, I'm not waiting patiently on the Lord. Give back a new yak. I want my money now. David, if you are not patient, you'll end up becoming a patient. No. Don't. I need my money. In God I trust, all else must bring my cash. The sad part is, how can we make this God-given dream to become a reality if we do not have money or if we owe? God gives us an example with Israel. When they were in Egypt, he gave them temporary provision. He gave them what? He used the Egyptians. Pharaoh was not a Christian, but somehow God has a way of using even your very enemy to provide for you. But it was temporary provision. It was not God's best, but they did not owe anybody. They depended on working, yes, for the Pharaoh, but they worked. But it was temporary provision. You don't work, you don't eat. My sister, it's a sign right there. If he does not work, slice via Tamaya. Temporary provision. And then he takes them out of Egypt. He brings them into the promised land. To the desert, to the wilderness. When they're in the wilderness, he gives them daily provision. What kind of provision? He provides for them manna every day. But it was still not God's best. We as a church need to come to a point where we move from temporary provision to daily provision, because the ultimate for us as we pursue that God-given dream is the promised land, which is permanent, sustainable provision. It is what? We as a church need to begin to have that kind of mindset. But how can we have permanent sustainable provision if in our own life we are in debt? Let me give you just three signs pointing to the debt trap. Some of you are headed there, some of you are already there, but at the end of the service, I'm going to share with you on how to get out and how this precious woman of God got out of that debt trap. Number one, you are having some challenges if you are, number one, living on credit. It is the first danger sign that you are headed for the debt trap if you are living on credit. There are men and women of God who are using these credit cards to maintain their lifestyles. You are moving from credit card to credit card. Romans chapter 13 verse 8, the Bible is clear. Pay some of your debts. Pay three quarters of your debt. Pay what? All of your debt. Pastor Don just preached about the brand promise that we give as Christians. And one of the greatest challenges of integrity among Christians is we don't pay debts. We bring reproach to the body of Christ. We use the word, I'm a Christian, and yet we don't pay debt. The Bible is clear, Romans 13 verse 8, pay all your debt. God does not want you and I to live on credit. You see, that's a problem, Pastor Art. When you talk about sex and money, the anointing goes down. Have you noticed that? Because you are close to where people are. We can shout and do all of that stuff. This is practical stuff. For you to make your dream come true, you need to get out of debt. Yes, a man of God, Bill Wilson, can pray for you. God can do a supernatural debt cancellation. But if you do not have the skills and the tools to stay out of debt, you will go back into debt. We spend too much time praying for people to get out of debt. Some of us as pastors, Pastor Art, we need also to help people. While we are concerned about the tithe, we must also be equally concerned, Pastor Narita, helping the church on how to manage the 90%. Oh, we want the 10%, good. But what about the 90%, Pastor Musa, for us to empower our people on how, therefore, do you become a steward on the remaining 90%? You are in trouble if you're living on credit. Because there are two mistakes. When you start to live on credit, you're making these two mistakes. Mistake number one, you are saying that you are not content with what you have. That's why you go for the credit card. Number two, you are saying that, you know what? Because I can have the money, I can pay for tomorrow. But the Bible is clear in Proverbs 27 verse 1. Do not brag about tomorrow, since you don't know what the day will bring. Living on credit is not a good testimony for Christians. Did you know that when you've got a credit card, statistics have proven this, and as a businessman, I should know this, that you spend 23% more when you've got a credit card because you don't have to buy now. I mean, you don't have to pay now. How many percentage? 23%. But because you've got this thing called a credit card, psychologically, you get tempted, and the average is that you spend 23% more than what you would have spent if you had cash. You're living on credit. Proverbs 13 verse 11 says, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. And because you live on credit, you want now to get some quick thief stuff. And unfortunately, as charismatics, we are also having this thing. Now, suddenly on television, send $1,000. You know, this water from Jerusalem, and when you do it, it will bring this. What kind of nonsense is that? That is witchcraft, my friend. You cannot manipulate God. You got yourself in debt. It took time, so you have to get out of debt, and it's going to take time. Amen. Amen. Then we get stuck into these quick rich schemes, manipulating people. You send this, and then God will bring you these three promises. If God can bring these three promises, why doesn't He do it in your life? Amen. Then you now have Christians praying. Pastor Musa, pray for me. I want that lotto number. I promise through God, if I get it, 50% will take care of the budget for Dream Week. So, Pastor, I don't worry. But pray for me. I need that lotto. That's foolishness. Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes will quickly disappear, but wealth from hard work grows. If your dream is a scheme, it will show up, it will be exposed as a man of God and a woman of God. Whether you're in the ministry, whether you're in business, if it is not of the Lord, it will disappear, my friend. Here's the problem with the rich quick schemes. One, most of these get rich quick schemes, even in the church, are selfish. Number two, they are only putting money in this person's pocket. Number three, they make sure that people get personally recognized. Four, they do not honor God. Five, they end up hurting people. Because you are in debt, some of you even leave the principles of the Word of God because God takes time. What is this thing of, I've got to sow, I've got to give in the church? I'd rather do something in your flesh, like a lotto, or do something that can give me quick interest. And you miss the principles of God. Number one, be careful. If you live on credit, it's not good for you, my friend. It will mess up your dream. It will mess up your family. Some of you cannot make love to your wife or to your husband because every time you think about debt, you will conclude. Number two, some of us, we are in the debt trap. A sign is that you're living on debt. Number two, you make impulse purchases. I like them all. They have a way of playing this nice, good music. This music is messing you up. 30% sale, 70% sale. Some of you speak in tongues, horondo mokoshanda, 70%, 30%. Bill in America, it's even worse. They say you can now pay what? 2-3 years later. Get the stuff now, pay later. 3 years later. Impulse purchases. I like Zsa Zsa Gabor. Zsa Zsa Gabor was asked this question. Why are you rich? And why are you a housekeeper? She says, I've gone through so many divorces. The man will go, I keep the house, so I'm a good housekeeper. And then they ask another lady to say, but how are you making it in life? She says, well, I'm a millionaire, but we thought you are. She said, no. My husband was a multi-millionaire. When she married me, the husband is now the millionaire. So the multi was because of purchases. The husband moved from multi now to just a millionaire because the woman was just purchasing impulsively. If you find yourself caving in and buying things on impulse, you are likely headed for the death trap. Listen to the scripture, Proverbs 21, verse 17. The Bible says, those who love pleasure become poor. Wine and luxury are not the way to riches. See, most of us as guys, we suffer from three W's. Wine, wealth, and women. Have you noticed those three areas, even as Christians, will create us to begin to buy things? Wine means the pleasures of the world. You want to prove something to somebody. Wealth, we are always talking about who's got the what and who's got the what. Who gives the standard anyway? If you drive a better car than me, who cares? It takes me from point A to point B. Who cares what you drive? But ladies, you also have a three B's. Booze, big bucks, and boys. Little girl, I'll do more with alone. Buying on impulse. In our sessions, I always encourage people, anytime you need to spend 1,000 rands, spend 12 hours to think about it. Anytime you need to spend 1,000 rands, I don't care how much money you have or you don't have, think about it. Because impulse purchasing has created problems in the body of Christ. Which brings us to number three. That is the problem with the debt trap. Number three, we cannot afford to give God what is due to God when we are in a debt trap. We always argue with God. God is always number last. When something comes up financially, you must fill this gap and fill this gap, and then maybe you will throw in a tithe or a tip to God. And you expect God to bless you. Because when you give to God, you're saying, you have ownership of my life. Where my treasure is, that's where my heart is. But the problem with debt is that you do no longer think like a Christian. You always think in the flesh because you are scared on the repercussions and the consequences of debt. And then in the context of South Africa, we use a lot of cell phones. But we don't even own them. We are a nation of consumers. We eat. We don't own companies that control these food. We need a mindset change. If we want to make an impact in this generation, we need to start owning stuff. Can I have an amen, someone? Amen. You take your money to the bank, your money, and when you need a loan, they hit you with that money. But you say, oh, this is a good bank. They give me tea and scones. No, 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 that's your money. It's not tea or scones from the bank. We are becoming a nation of consumers. God needs to help us to have a paradigm shift so that we can begin to own percentages, own stocks of these things so that we can invest it back into the kingdom of God. Can I have an amen there? The challenge with the debt trap is exactly this. That the enemy will do anything to derail you, to distract you. Please repeat after me. The devil cannot destroy me. But he can distract me. And then I destroy myself. The Bible says Jesus was manifested so that we as Christians can destroy the works of the devil. He cannot destroy you. So what he does is always scannering, scheming to derail you so that you end up what? Destroying yourself. It's okay, Dave. What then do I do about debt? Thank you for that question. 8 things, and that's it. Number one, repent. Change your mind and your actions regarding money. The Bible is clear. Money answereth all things. That's why I always say in pulpits everywhere that we need to change some of these songs that we sing. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I don't like that song. I'd rather have Jesus plus silver and gold. God gave you something to give. Some of these songs that you sing. No man kogi chas la manigini. Ufunan kogi chas la manigini. A mindset. Repent in the area of money. Pastor Art, the only thing that competes with God is money. God says you can never serve God and money. He didn't say the devil. Some of us, this dream week, listen to me. Your vision is so big. The only way and the only means to achieve that vision is through money. God will bring supernatural friends, relationships, network, contacts, so that through them you're able to get resources. He is the source, but the resources are here. Amen. What do you do? Repent. Dad, I owe people. Dad, I owe you. I've never been faithful in tithing. Pastor Art, in our sessions on financial management, we actually teach four kinds of giving. We charismatic, you're still playing with just one tithe. You tithe because it is an instruction from God, and the benefit, God says, windows of heaven will open. God will give you witty ideas. God will give you creative ideas. That's only just the first part of honoring God through your tithe. First one. But number two, there are what we call alms or offerings to the poor. And God says, when you lend to the poor, you lend to me. That's the second kind of offering. Then the third kind of offering is what we call the first fruits. Once a year, you get this promotion, bam, you offer it to God, first fruits. And then the fourth kind of offering is what we call the seed. That's where the multiplication comes. But if we are still struggling every day, pay your tithes, whatever. And some of you, you've made your decision at home to leave your wallet anyway. So we're wasting 15 minutes. Give, it shall be given unto you. You've made your decision. Amen, amen, fetang, amen, amen. So when we come to church, the first thing we do, we need to repent, because we need to make a decision in our home how much we are going to be giving God. Don't limit God, my friend. Particularly when you're in debt, it's time to give God a shot. Can I have an amen? Amen. How to get out of debt? Repent. I'm wrong. I made bad decisions. I owe people. Particularly when you owe Christians. That's a tough one. Because how do you pray? You've got enemies in the church because they owe you money. That is why some people don't like me. I never co-sign for anybody. I don't care whether you're my family, my friend. The Bible says don't co-sign. Why? Because I was in trouble twice. You don't learn a lot from a second kick of a horse, ne? You're following a horse. A horse kicks you once. It's a mistake, ne? You don't go back again and follow that horse. Because when it kicks you twice, you have learned nothing. So I was kicked twice. Now the next time I follow the horse on the other side, you know. Repent. Because debt can enslave you. Number two, how do you get out of debt? Immediately give God the first fruits. After you repent, you put action. God, I'm going to sow a seed. Some of you during this dream week, you might not have any seed to sow today, but tonight, tomorrow, whatever it is, between you and God, nobody manipulating you. I don't like this manipulative stuff. It must be from God. God, I'm going to sow a seed. I've repented, and to prove it, here it is, between me and you, God, there it is. Because what you do privately, God will reward you publicly. Number three, you want to get out of debt. There it is. Don't incur any new debts. Don't go and have a loan to get a loan to pay other debts. Incur no debts. Folks, either God is God or we are playing games. Either this God is a God who provides or we are really playing games. I was living a comfortable life in the States, principal of a school, graduated from Oral Roberts. God says, come to South Africa. Either he will provide for me or I have missed God. After this thing has aired on SABC, Jeremy Ord calls me from, he was the chairman of Dimension Data, the largest information technology company. He calls me, says, man, I like what you do. Do you mind coming in and speak to our people? I said, why? He says, no, because you are a motivational speaker. I said, oh, so that's why people like us are called motivational. I said, if you call me that, do I get paid for this? He says, yes, sir. Yeah, I'm a motivational speaker. You are my family, I must be honest with you. I never called myself a motivational speaker. The people in the world called me a motivational speaker. Why I took that title? Because it pays. God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. And then after some time, they said, no, we must come and do a strategic session. And now I move from motivational speaker, I'm now a management consultant. As long as it pays, I am there. Zwaal. Your miracle is in your mouth. Amen. God has given you gifts. Speak those gifts into being. Stay away from debt. Incur no new debts. Number four, systematically eliminate existing debts. Draw up a careful budget. Make a specific plan to get out of debt. Some of us in the body of Christ seek Christian people who are financial counselors. Some of you single people, please don't get married until you sort out this thing of money. We have to counsel a lot of people who are already in marriage, but they're in a mess financially. Number five, please repeat after me. I must perform plastic surgery on my credit cards. I don't mind people having credit cards. Two things about them. One, as long as before the cycle of payment comes, you pay them, then you're fine. You must learn how to manage your credit cards. Secondly, some of the credit cards preferably must be debit cards. It's mine that's already in the bank. So when you use it, your money is out. I don't have a problem with that. The problem in our context in South Africa is because people do not empower us on the dangers of these things called credit cards. Some of us, even in the church, we pay tithes and we know there's no money. David, I'm a man of faith. And the credit card bounces. What kind of a testimony do you present as a Christian? Perform plastic surgery on this thing. Some people cut the credit cards. I like a friend of mine. He put it in the fridge. Water, put that credit card. He froze that thing until he's out of debt on how to manage this thing. Number six, we're about to close. Start the process today. Not next week. Not tomorrow, today make a decision. Psalm 37 verse 21. The Bible says the wicked borrow and never repay. So if you borrow, you don't pay, that's not me. The Bible says you are wicked. Bad English, you are. You know, I know it's not going to be easy, which brings us to number seven. Some of us have to go to the creditors and share a repayment plan with your creditors. Proverbs 21 verse 5 says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. You may have to go to your creditors, you say, I can't pay. But here are terms that I'd like to negotiate with you on that. And you'll find out that they are more than willing to support. Number eight, stick with it. You make a commitment during this dream week. I'm getting out of debt. It begins with your mind and then action. Stick with it. Sometimes it may seem hopeless, but you continue day in, day out, those little efforts, and God will reward you for your diligence. When the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, a new one was built in its place. But here was the trouble, is that the new temple was nowhere as good and glamorous as the old temple. But listen to what the word of God says in Zechariah chapter 4 verse 10. Do not despise these small beginnings. Amen. Do not despise these small beginnings. This woman of God says, my husband is with the Lord. He loved you. He served you. And the creditors are coming in to take my two kids so that they can be slaves, so that they can pay back. Elisha said something powerful. Elijah says, what do you have? What do you have? The woman sounded like a South African woman. I have nothing. What do you have? She says, I have nothing. Elijah probably looked at that woman. She said, you've got something. Because before a miracle can happen, God wants to see what do you have. It does not matter how small it is. What do you have? Moses, what do you have? Just a stick. Throw it down. David, what do you have? A lethal weapon. Sling and four stone. What do you have? Fish and bread. What do you have? You have something, my friend. She says, well, I've got a little jar or something like this. Okay, great. That's a good start. Go to your neighbors. Pastor Art, she might have a good relationship with the neighbors, because if she didn't have a good relationship with the neighbors, there's no way you can borrow jars. And the first woman-owned company, oil company, started in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Check it out. But don't miss this as I close. He said something powerful. Let me read it. Verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God, 2 Kings 4. And he said, go, listen to this, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your children enjoy the rest. Go sell. See, that was a problem with Jesus, with this rich guy. He didn't say to the rich guy, go give everything. He said to the rich young ruler, go sell. Why? Because when you sell, there is profit so that you can be able to give. Elijah did not say, widow woman, give me everything. He says, no, no. Give me first, then save some for you and your kid. God understands the principles of first. So the question before we close, if you are in debt, the question is, what do you have today? Pastor Don was right. As Christians, we are a brand. We promise people integrity, honesty. And this dream week can be crushed if you go up there and still continue to be in debt. God has already started doing some work in your life. I believe that God will give you creative ideas so that you can get out of debt in the name of Jesus. Amen. But the key thing is, when you are out of debt, don't go back there. Go help someone else. But the first thing is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.